What makes parvo different from all the other diseases that kill dogs?
Parvo is caused by a virus, and it's probably the most dangerous disease that dogs can catch. A lot of diseases can't be spread, but this is one that we call a communicable disease, so dogs will spread it from one to each other. It's also a disease that targets puppies, so 90% of parvo deaths are in puppies that are under a year of age. And obviously that makes it terrible if someone just got a new puppy and suddenly it's got this horrible thing. And I guess lastly, the disease hurts and kills puppies it affects. It attacks their stomach and intestines. You know, they can vomit blood, they can have profuse diarrhea that's filled with blood, they can die as quickly as 24 hours, and obviously it's completely preventable.
24 hours? If this disease kills so fast, surely the disease can't spread that quickly?
Well, that would be nice if that was the case. And in some diseases, that's true. So in some diseases, if they kill very quickly, the disease will burn itself out. The problem is that with parvovirus, it actually lasts a long time in the environment. So an animal will get sick, they will spread the virus into the environment, and then other animals, you know, walking through that environment can pick it up, and it actually can last for a year or even longer in the environment.
In which areas are our dogs most at risk?
Well, parvo can happen anywhere. Mostly we're lucky that in the more affluent areas of capital cities, we don't see the virus. In the outskirts of the cities, and in the lower socioeconomic areas, that's actually where it's far more common. And in our rural and regional areas, there's actually twice as many cases as we see in the capital cities. Some rural areas, it's even worse than that, particularly bad. So if you're in an area where parvo is around, obviously that's a huge risk, but it can also be introduced to an area where it hasn't been seen for a while. So everyone needs to be careful of it, but there's some areas where it's particularly bad.
So lower socioeconomic areas. I assume there's a vaccine. How expensive is this vaccine?
Yeah, so the vaccines, including a veterinary consult, the vet needs to give a tick over of the dog before they give the vaccination. They're usually around $80 to $100, maybe a bit more dollars. So obviously for some people that's easy to afford. For others, it's quite difficult for people to be able to afford that.
How can we keep our dogs safe?
So dogs catch parvo if they're exposed to the environment or to a contaminated object where an infected dog has spread the virus. So anywhere that a sick animal has been could be infected. For instance, if parvo is around, take your dog to the park, you take them to the beach. Even in an animal shelter, these are places where parvo is quite commonly picked up. But one of the risks is that even a dog or puppy that doesn't leave your house can still catch the virus because it can be brought in on someone's shoes. That can be enough to bring it into your house. So the truth is that to stop a dog or pup catching it, they must be fully vaccinated.
And the earliest symptoms of this virus are vomiting and diarrhea. Those can be caused by a lot of things. How do we know when to take our dogs to the vet?
And sometimes you don't even see vomiting and diarrhea. Sometimes they can actually just be off their food. And obviously, in some cases, that can be perfectly normal as well. My recommendation is if anyone is ever worried about their pet that they're not behaving the same way, you can always ring up your local vet for advice. If you have a puppy, and especially if it's not fully vaccinated, but even if you think it is fully vaccinated and it has vomiting and diarrhea, you absolutely should ring your vet. But often without doing a test or without having a professional vet look at a dog, you can't tell what it's got.
And say my dog, for example, had parvovirus. If the vet caught it, how would they treat it?
I mean, hopefully your dog will never have parvo. I really wouldn't wish that on anyone. For vets to treat the virus, effectively the virus itself, the dog's immune system has to fight off. So there are a couple of antivirals we can use, but generally that's not the case. What we need to do is to provide them with supportive therapy to help them through the disease process while the body heals itself. And that can take some time. So one of the biggest issues with parvo is that they will dehydrate very quickly. You've probably seen pictures of dogs with parvo, and usually they're in the vet clinic. We put them on intravenous fluids because they're losing all of these fluids through the vomiting and diarrhea. We will give them antibiotics because their immune system has been attacked by this virus, and so it's vulnerable to other diseases. And often that's actually how they can die from secondary bacterial infections. We'll give them pain relief because it's a terribly painful disease for them to catch. We also give them anti-vomiting medications. And often we need to give them other medications to balance up their electrolytes. So, yeah, it can be a very hard thing to treat.
So drugs, medication, antibacterial and antivirus treatment, that sounds very expensive.
Yeah, this is the thing. So obviously it is expensive to treat, and I think this is one of the reasons why, sadly, a lot of puppies get put to sleep, because people can't afford the treatment, or just knowing how much they're suffering, you know, you have to weigh up whether it's worth putting them through, you know, the recovery process when the possibility is that they're going to, sadly, pass away anyway. But, the cost to treat can be anything from, you know, multiple hundreds of dollars up through to multiple thousands of dollars, and quite commonly it's into the thousands of dollars. Obviously, it depends how bad they are, but it is. It's a terrible thing. It's much easier to prevent than it is to treat after they've caught it.
So, jumping to Paws for a Purpose, your charity, how is it helping these vulnerable populations in low socioeconomic areas?
We have come to a philosophy that we think the reason why parvo is occurring in these areas as badly as it is, because we're simply not vaccinating the right puppies in the right place at the right time. And so what we see is that in order to, you know, help with this process, we need to make social change and be able to make, you know, vaccination of these puppies that otherwise aren't being vaccinated, make that accessible to these people. So we're looking to run some low-cost or potentially free vaccinations in some of these areas. We're looking to work on communication strategies to raise awareness, and also just figure out what else needs to be done in order to, you know, effectively have all these puppies that haven't been vaccinated being vaccinated. And then we're testing to see if it actually does make a difference in stopping other cases. And if we can show this model works, the goal is then to roll it out over all these other areas as well. So it's a scientific project that's being conducted in conjunction with the University of Sydney. But the goal is that we're trying to find a way to solve this problem and potentially stop thousands of puppies dying from this disease every year.
So if anyone's interested, how can they help?
Yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, if they want to go to our website, so it's www.pawsforapurpose.org, noau.org, then they can find out more about what we're doing. There's also information they can contact us there. We have a premium beef treat. We're a social enterprise charity, and because we figure that the way to do this is we need to raise awareness about this disease that people don't know about, that they're not vaccinating because they don't realise how bad the risk is. So we've started selling a beef treat. It's 100% beef, no preservatives, no additives, very high quality, and all the money raised from selling this treat goes to raising awareness and money for the Parvo Project.
So that was www.pawsforapurpose.org. Thank you, Dr. Mark Kelman.
Thank you.